Now hit me.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. And if you missed the first segment, well, listen to it
later
on the podcast. Yeah. But we're going to talk about fishing. It's the spring of the year. Our friends at Al and Bob's are no longer in business. We'd usually have them in. So it's going to be just Bob and Jop that are going to talk about it today. But anyway.
It is time to get after the walleye.
Right.
Doesn't season start like right now?
No, it's been about 3 weeks already.
It already
has. That it's
okay.
Going. It's the first part. It's the 1st of April.
1st of April.
When it opens up.
And then trout's when? 1st of May?
Today. Saturday.
Oh.
Trout season. Last Saturday in April.
Okay.
Yep. So
that used to be a thing.
Yeah, right. And it still is for lots of guys. It's sacred. Most of the guys catch a few, but throw most of them back.
Well, my brothers and brother-in-laws and all of us would go up to the Pier Marquette.
Yep.
For that weekend, always in camp, and
yep.
So that was a thing.
Yeah, I did that too earlier on, but I don't do it so much anymore. But the walleye is fun, and you know we have lots and lots of lakes in Michigan have walleye, but. I've got several friends that have gone down to the Detroit River, and my buddy Charlie.
Charlie. Yeah, those pictures looked really nice.
Yeah, he was there on Sunday and Monday this past week.
That was a beautiful stringer he showed.
Yeah, they limit it out in like an hour and a half in the Detroit River, and you kind of float the river and jig while you're going down through there.
I wonder if Charlie would give us permission to post that on the Grillin' Guys Facebook page.
I'm sure he would, because there was nothing there. It was just him and four buddies. There were five of them in the boat. And they limited out both days.
I was really jonesing when I saw this. Like, why am I not down there?
Right. And that was just a charter that they hired.
Oh.
And you know, so you can go down there and hook that up. Heck yeah. You know, we could. I usually go with one of my buddies, a guy by the name of Randy Inman. And Randy, as I mentioned, fell off a horse. Horse is fine. He's not so good. But anyway, he's got a broken foot, so we couldn't go. And which is fine.
Well, he still has a boat.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, but I'm not that good of a friend. Hey, Randy, loan me your truck and your boat and all your equipment, and I'll just
Those boats are so
expensive.
I'll send
you pictures now. Right, I'll send you pictures.
They're so expensive.
But anyway, walleye is a thing, and it's a big thing. And for me, it's my favorite freshwater fish. Right. I mean, it's not seafood.
Oh yeah,
it's
by
a freshwater
far, by
fish.
Far.
It's firm, but it's so mild.
I'm almost thinking perch is a close rival.
Well, they're brothers.
Yeah,
a walleye is a big perch.
But
after
getting enough perch, it's kind of like I used to be only walleye, and now it's like I need to find more perch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you. I used to go to Drummond Island in the spring and get those
always.
But anyway, with regard to walleye, it's a mild fish. It's not fishy at all. It's got a real firm white flesh, and you take the fillets off, and you know you're keeping them. I think they got to be, don't quote me on this, but like 15 inches is a minimum for the keepers, and you don't want them much more than like 22, 23 inches. The meat gets thick.
18 to 22 is
they're beautiful.
That's the sweet spot.
The fillet comes off. It's about a half inch thick right at the back, and. They crisp up
and
nice.
They change the DNR changes the sizes all the time. I don't even know how big it has to be now. Last time I fished for them, I think it was 15 inches.
Yeah.
Yep. That's too small.
Right. It is. And you let a lot of those back.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, that 18
you want
to 22.
Them to breed a few times.
Right. Oh, they're wonderful. But anyway, there's several ways to cook it. You know, I've talked about my favorite way, but there's some technique. There's a guy in the show, if you've been a longtime listener, his name is Ken Glupker, and we referred to him as Captain Ken. He runs a walleye charter out of Saginaw Bay, out of Augray.
Is he still doing that?
Yes, he is. And but anyway, Captain Ken taught me how to cook fish. And you think, how can you be taught to cook fish? Well, there's a couple secrets. And one of them is, I see you made a note on the show plan, is that when you get the fillets, make sure that what we break them up into two different sizes. There's backs and bellies.
Yeah.
Right. And the back can is thicker. The bellies are thinner. You get down towards your tail, it starts getting thinner. Mix those in with the bellies. And the reason is that when you put the fish in the fryer, you want it to be the same thickness or about.
Yeah.
So that they cook.
So you're not
them
ruining
up.
It.
Right. You're not overcooking some and getting some that are undercooked when you empty the batch. But before they go in. The secret that Captain Ken taught me was to leave them in ice water for at least 20 or 30 minutes prior to the time they go in the fryer. And so they come out of the ice water, they're damp. He uses a cornmeal-based breading because I want to be fish-forward and breading. I don't want so much. But there's we'll talk about other breadings
yeah,
in a minute.
Yeah, and that's up to personal preference.
It is. But with that, when that cold fish and it's damp, it sticks to the batter. And I've got a, it's got like a Tupperware shaker. It's made for fish.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a divider in it. There, you put your batter in
the,
and shake it up.
I think the coating he uses is Andy's, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And they've got two or three flavors, whatever you like.
You know what I found out also? What? That is great on all kinds of other things.
Oh, vegetables. Yeah, it's really good.
It's not just good for fish. Yeah.
It's light and it crisps up nice. But that 350 oil, cold fish into the batter, into the oil. And don't take more than, you know, a minute to do that. Cause
and you don't have to have a deep fryer either.
No. You can do it in a you know, kettle on the stove. Or
it seems like he just used a pan with about an inch of oil in it.
Yeah, you want enough so that it can submerge because right. You want it to get all sides, right? But at the end
but
of the day.
I'm just saying a lot of people say, well, I don't, you know, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You can.
You can, right on your stovetop.
Yep.
I turn your vent hood on because it will smell up your house.
Do it on the grill.
Well, that's where I'm at. Mm. Yeah, is I do all my fish outside. And I just got one of those little burners. In a
yeah,
aluminum
you said
pan.
You got a smaller version yeah, of a turkey cooker.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
great
a single
idea.
Burner, and it's maybe only like 10 inches around.
Perfect.
And they come with an aluminum pot that sits right on it.
That'd be great to take camping,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly. It just hooks up to a regular propane tank.
Because
and
the turkey
great.
One is pretty
too big.
Giant.
Yeah, it's too much to carry. Yeah. And you don't need it that big unless you're doing a huge amount of fish. But
and nobody ever deep fries turkey anymore.
Right, yeah. So it's but you do that, put it in there, it'll float. When it's done, it's weird.
That's a great tip right there.
Yeah, exactly. But your fish will float in that oil when it's done. Pull it out. Now, I always have just an aluminum, you know, like catering pan is what I call them, but
right.
An aluminum pan. Line it with two or three layers of paper towel.
Yes.
And then I take the hot fish right out, put it in there, and then I put a foil lid on top to try to keep it warm.
Don't get cheap on the paper towel. Put plenty of that down because right. It'll suck that oil out
right.
of there, and that's what you want.
Right. And the thing is that... The part I don't like about cooking fish when there's a bunch of people around is I'm particular. I want my fish warm when I serve it. I don't want somebody that took the first batch got cold fish and the guy that got the last batch.
So use smaller pans.
That's right. That's where I was going. Smaller pans, put a lid on it, and you know, cook your fish and take it all out and serve it at once because the hot ones will keep the warm.
Every time I've cooked fish with you, we never got a chance to serve it.
Right, yeah, we just ate it after right, it came out. Yeah, exactly. Well, there's that going on. So make sure you pull enough
You'll
out of the freezer.
You'll get the seagulls
right?
coming by.
Right.
They're going to be full before the dinner starts,
exactly.
So don't sweat it.
Yeah, and I don't put a lot of seasoning on it. This batter has a little profile to it, but I'm not a big guy to cover it with Lowry's
I'm
or anything like that.
I'm thinking T-Gid's Extra Cajun might be good on
you know,
that.
That is good on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about him in the fourth segment.
He's going to come on.
Keith Guidry, T-Gid is going to come on. He's the Raging Cajun, and he's got a new seasoning out, and he sent us some of it, and damn if it ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've put that on a bunch of stuff, pork, whatever, and it's fine.
Well, the walleye pretty much absconded with this whole segment.
Yep.
And we have halibut to talk. We'll just talk.
Just for the halibut?
Just for the halibut.
Yep.
But
yep,
we'll do that maybe in the next segment.
Yeah. So anyway, if you get a chance to cook some walleye, there's beer batter too. See, I don't particularly care for it because it gets thicker. You get more batter and less
fish. My wife loves that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make what she likes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's good. And we'll talk a little bit in one of these segments about beer batter and how to make it.
Next segment, we're going to do fish and chips. So
there you go. That'll work.
So that's right along those lines.
All right. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.